Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 50 from January the 9th of 1993. We are in Morristown, Tennessee, which is the home of White Lightning, Tim Horner. Yes, I said White Lightning, Doc. We've been here before. I don't think you've got demographic information. Am I correct on that one?
Bunch of stupid, illiterate hillbillies. How about that?
All right. Harper, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine, bro. Just watched Golden Girls.
Yeah. Did you beat your meat? Did you get off? Yeah,
no doubt.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Blanche, did you pause it on Blanche or Betty White or which one?
Oh, Blanche.
Blanche.
Blanche and Betty White do some scissoring in the living room there for everybody.
They don't do that.
They're classy girls, huh?
Yeah.
They're Jezebels, but they're your Jezebels.
break out a double-ended dildo. Ass
what?
Ass. We're off the rails already. Jesus Lord. Okay, buddies.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for plugging my ass.
All right. Let's get down to business here. Hey, here's another great example of how different wrestling was back then for the most part. These next few episodes were recorded on December the 12th of 1992, and it aired on January the 9th of 92. We got a month before even the first episode that they recorded here aired, which, wow. This is also the site of a wild brawl from early Smoky Mountain where I remember the first time I went, ooh, shit, this is different, because I think it was Bobby Fulton who cracked Ivan Koloff in the head with what I think was the hardest metal chair I've ever seen in professional wrestling. Doc, I don't know if you remember that far back, but this was the building where that melee occurred between the Koloffs and I think Bobby and Jackie. You recall that at all?
Kind of.
Okay. Doc, we got a question from BTT Hall of Famer SV Pajam on Twitter. He wants to know if, and this was a few weeks back, obviously, because we record these so far in advance, but he wants to know if Greg Abbott, the Texas politician, is pulling off a Ron Wright gimmick. That's all you got?
I wish somebody would hang him.
Oh, Jesus, hang?
That's like, nice.
Like they tried to hang Horner, and then his little... fucked up legs would be dangling and trying to touch the ground, but they don't really work. So
you have a condom in his mouth with fucking blood in it.
Let me tell you something about this governor. He's gonna fuck around. He's gonna learn a very, very valuable, powerful lesson soon.
We don't do politics here, man.
Shut up. I'm bringing it back to sports.
Okay.
He's real big on like. Where everybody goes potty. He's one of those guys. And the NFL was like, you pass one of those bills, we'll cut off the Super Bowl. Now, what do you think Jerry Jones is thinking when he hears the Super Bowl is going to get cut off because potty? Our governor's going to find out who the most important man in Texas is fairly soon. And I'm not saying I like Jerry Jones.
Okay, yeah. But that's where political beliefs start to beat on to butt heads.
This is Texas. This is football. And this is Jerry Jones. Yeah. He's going to find out real quick
who the Booker man is.
Who's booking this territory.
So regardless of your political beliefs, football in itself is his own political party, I would say.
I would assume that I'm just guessing. I don't know. I would assume that Jerry Jones is a Republican too, but I guarantee he's going to pick up the phone and say,
right. Does.
And then somebody will translate it to the governor and say, you better drop this shit post haste.
Right.
Because we can't be having this. I got Super Bowls to have.
Well, that's why I said, I don't give it. A lot of times I don't care if certain people are Republican or Democrat, what the fuck ever. Brother, the big political party in this country, or I'm sorry, in this state, in this example, if Jerry Jones is involved, football is the party. It ain't got nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. And that's
football
about
football and money, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, one more thing before we get going into the episode. Doc, Raleigh Arnwine sent out some tweets from, and that's at Raleigh Arnwine on Twitter, longtime supporter of the show, big time. He's a patron, tinyurl.com/btgpatron.
Yeah, you brought him on one time to talk to him, and we got the Yeah, no, I remember.
Very smart guy. I like him a lot. He sent me some pics of we last few episodes were in Clairfield, Tennessee. Mm. He sent me some pics on Twitter of Clairfield, Tennessee.
Oh.
Holy shit. You want to talk about a broke down place.
Does it look like Hiroshima like the day after the bomb?
Not that bad, but I mean, but it's closer not to that far than, off from the lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Damn. It's a bunch of whitewashed windows.
Do you want to explain what the hell you mean by that?
Yeah, we might need an explanation for that.
Jesus. I guess he's not going to explain it, but okay.
When his store closes, they paint the windows white.
Somewhat. I mean, he only sent four pics, but one of the pics was of what we figured out to be Clairfield School, where the TV tapings were. And there there looks to be a 1960 bus in the parking lot. And it is like literally the smallest school that one could ever think of. And I'll just leave it at that. Go to my Twitter. I think I retweeted it, or go to at Raleigh Arnwine's Twitter. That's RaleighArwine. And you can see the pictures we're talking about here.
Fuck that fucking Appalachian shit. But that shit sounds depressing, huh?
It sure does.
God damn. But they ain't got no hope for shit.
No, they ain't no more depressing than the lower Ninth Ward.
We're on the way back, dude. We're making America great again.
But that's the thing is, the Ninth Ward, 5 minutes away, there's like a major city with people wearing suits walking down Poydras. They ain't none of that around there. That's like two states over.
By the time that shit trickles down to them,
shit,
their grandchildren will be dead.
Yes.
Okay. All right, y'all. Well, there we go. We had to address a couple of topics involved with the Smoky Mountains that really had nothing to do with this week's episodes, but you know, there were some things that came up in the last couple of weeks. So, all right, we jump into the episode again. This is episode 50, January 9th, 1993. Bob and Dutch are kicking things off. Dutch has his signs, and the signs say, "Would you buy a used car from this man?" That's pointing at Bob Cottle. Dutch Mantel then says he'll have Mr. Ron Wright on Down and Dirty with Dutch. And then Bullet Bob Armstrong comes in, and he makes an announcement about this week's episode. So I was going to play that here, and then we can respond to it. It's very short, so here it is.
Off right here today.
All right, and Dutch Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong is right here with us. And Commissioner Armstrong, I understand you got some big news about a big special match that'll take place right here next week on Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You're right, Bob. Next week, for the first time, we'll make history right here. We'll crown a TV champion in a Beat the Champ TV title match. Now, four men have been selected at random. They are Jimmy Golden, Killer Kyle, Mr. Tracy Smothers, and the Dirty White Boy. That match will all take place, and by the end of next week's TV program, we'll have our first Smoky Mountain TV heavyweight champion.
Exciting things, fans, are happening right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now, we're going to be back. We'll have more. You stay with us right now. Let's take this time out.
All right, I just would play that real quick. That way we know it is definitely coming up. We got the TV title. Doc, did you have anything from that real quick?
I believe it's called the Beat the Champ title, sir.
Well,
yes. Okay.
Beat the Champ title. Harper, you have anything besides to criticize me like Doc just
did? Because I just thought the same thing Doc just said. What the fuck is he talking about?
To beat the champ. I want to know why Corny never got a belt for it. I do want to know that. I want that answer soon. So we'll find
why
out.
Buy
but
shit,
anyway.
Why buy shit you don't need?
Well, okay,
he ain't exactly
true.
A woman.
That's very true. They then throw us to a promo. Well, they go over the rules for Beat the Champ. And then they throw us to a promo. Primetime Brian Lee, Mongolian Stomper. Here that is.
All right, fans, with us right now, here's the Mongolian Stomper. Primetime Brian Lee. Brian, of course, you guys with Kevin Sullivan. You guys have been having some really, really tough times.
You know, tough times isn't the word for it. If you look here, you see my ribs aren't 100%. And Kevin Sullivan, you didn't get the job done because Primetime Brian Lee's still right here in your face. You know, you have Night Stalker at your side. you know, Night Stalker, you have everything it takes to be a good wrestler. You're big, strong, and even a great athlete, but you don't have a mind because Kevin Sullivan's leading you around like a dog. But when you want to talk about lunatics, look at my partner here. He has not one brain cell left. It doesn't matter to him. He tears her from head to toe. So I'll tell you what, Kevin Sullivan, I don't know where and I don't know when, but when primetime Brian Lee gets his hands on you, it's curtains for you, Daddy. And I'll tell you what, and I've said it 100 times and I'll say it again, you're good, but you're not ready for primetime.
All right, and talking about that, fans, we want to go back right now.
Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Go ahead.
I guess it's serviceable for primetime. You know, it is what it is. I think, you know, he's got a ceiling. I didn't like the line with Stomper doesn't have one brain cell left. I thought it would have been funny if the Stomper attacked him when he said that because he's so crazy and unpredictable. He'll attack his own teammate. I don't know. I just want to see Sullivan gash some more people.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, me too. Hopper, what did you think?
Yeah, I didn't get the whole one brain cell thing. I was like, why you want to call your tag team partner a fucking idiot?
There's a better way to call him crazy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's got one brain cell left. He's a moron. Don't fuck with him.
Right. Oh, boy. So, just so everyone knows, Bob Caudle throws us to a recap. And it's from Christmas Chaos. And Sullivan goes to the ring of Santa Claus and attacks primetime Brian Lee, who didn't realize who he was because he was dressed as Santa.
With a frying pan.
Yeah.
They don't do the recap well, in my opinion, though.
Well, the only reason Santa ought to be carrying a frying pan is if he's trying to get my wife something, some new dishes to cook with.
Okay. Let me ask this, though. That's nice, Doc. You just offended the women who listen.
The bitches.
The broads. The
rats. Hoes.
The hoe.
The slits.
Whoa.
Wet tails. Yahtzee! I don't know what I really thought about this recap. It was kind of weird, but they show this promo of Primetime Brian Lee and Stomper before they show the recap, and I thought maybe it would have been better if it came after. But that was just kind of what I was thinking when I was watching it. Now, I will say this. Primetime Brian Lee and the Stomper do win, but it's via disqualification in this Christmas Chaos match. And as you saw, there's no resolution to it because of the promo we just saw before with Brian Lee and Mongolian Stomper. So, I don't know. Any other thoughts, Hopper, about the recap that they show?
No, it's just, oh, I love it when he says, oh, we thought that was a real Santa Claus.
Right. Yeah. He does come out of nowhere, and for a second you're like, what the hell? And then it just kind of breaks down. Doc, your thoughts?
Not really about the recap. It's more about, this is the arena, I guess, in Knoxville where they do a lot of the big shows over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And I like this building because I like that they make it dark, which is old school in the way we like it. But I like that light that's on the far side that it probably exit to the concessions or whatever. You can see people still walking around. That same camera view was at Reunion Arena back for the world class Star Wars shows back in the early 80s. So I like that. I like the way this arena looks when it lights up. It's a bigger building. You can hear the fans pop off. It's good
stuff. Can't. And when they turn the lights on, it looks like a completely different venue than once they go off. You're like, damn, it's pretty big in there. There's a lot of people in there. And that's the same building where they had the Volunteer Slam, too, just so you know.
Well, and by 95, they had a show. They have a show there, and I'm not going to give away too much, but they put 5,000 in there for one show, I think, in 95. So, I mean.
Yeah. It's a nice building. Now you can pack it out. Okay, so let's see, where are we at? We go from that to now a promo with Sullivan and the Night Stalker. And obviously, you know, they're responding to what we just saw in Primetime Brian Lee and the Stomper. So here it is.
And that's just a little bit of what happened there at Christmas Chaos. And you heard from Primetime Brian Lee about these two. Here they are, the Master, Kevin Sullivan, and the Night Stalker. Stalker?
Brian Lee, you had the opportunity of a lifetime. but you've made a grave mistake. You've came out of the hospital just a little too early. You're not ready. You can't beat this team. I don't care who you bring. Commissioner Bob Armstrong, you can get him. He can't help you. The Mongolian Stomper, he can't help you either. There's no one anywhere who can beat the Master and the Night Stalker, because you see, the family is just not in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The family is all over the entire world. Master, share some knowledge with these people who don't know what they're doing.
Brian Lee, let me ask you this. Was Christmas in Santa good to you? It's Stomper. Somebody told me at Christmas time you got stuck in the chimney and got singed. Well, this is to Bob Armstrong. You can bring them in from all over the world. You can bring the Stompers. You can bring the Mongolians, the whole family, along with Brian Lee. You see, Bob Armstrong, you've really put the pressure on me. You've made me a sick individual. I don't like to go out and take spikes and spike people. You see, Bob Armstrong, six times this week, six, count them, six times, I went to the psychiatrist and laid down. He told me, you're like a father figure, Bob Armstrong. I hated my father, Bob Armstrong. I hated him. It's you.
It's okay, Master. Everyone hated your father. It's not your fault. It's not your fault of what happened to your father.
It's okay, Bob Armstrong.
It's not your fault.
I'll tell you this, Bob Armstrong. Everybody pays. Everybody pays all the time. Brian Lee, take a look at this. Mongolian Stomper, take a look at this. Because when you lay your weary head down at night, you're gonna have nightmares.
Fans, we'll be back. We'll have action right after.
Kevin Sullivan's fucking nuts, but that's neither here nor there. Doc, you first. Go ahead.
Before we get into Sullivan, you know, this is obviously not WCW or WWF. And Night Stalker is very early on in his career. So are they letting him talk so that he can practice? Because he's not good.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, I don't remember him. I don't want this to come off the wrong way. I don't remember him even in, like, WCW getting that much better on the mic. I mean, he still sounds the way. I can remember, I guess, in 99.
He had a manager in WWE.
The reason I say that is it just doesn't do anything for me to have him talk when he's standing next to Sullivan, unless it's like, hey, we'll help you get, you know, he's got the look. He's obviously prepared for bigger things. It's like, look, we'll help you, you know, develop as like, you know, minor league baseball kind of thing. He doesn't do it, but I mean, he's got kind of a southern tinge to his voice. It sounds like it's like, dude, you're not helping out here. Sullivan, on the other hand, do you know how crazy you have to be to warrant six visits to a psychiatrist in 1 week?
Well, that's impossible. You would be in jail probably, or in a psychiatric ward.
That's why I love that line. It's just, if you think about it a little bit, it just says how crazy he thinks, and he is. So,
well, yeah, he is. I mean, shit.
And then going into hating his father and all that, and Bob Armstrong's his father figure, and Bob Armstrong's like 8 years older than him. Funny.
Yeah. Harper, what about you? Anything?
I love it when he says, you put the pressure on me. You know, I don't want to do this. You're forcing me to do this.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're forcing Bruce Banner to turn into the fucking Hulk.
Yeah, it's well, too, and as a heel, he doesn't want to take ownership for the fact that he butchered up somebody, too, which, you know, obviously is a couple months back or a month or two ago now, but still.
Yeah.
I agree. I just think he's crazy, man. He just comes across as a nut job. He's rambling. It's, I mean, you heard it. It's almost like he's hard to describe, but that's kind
of. And he's laying on the floor,
Yeah, when he laid down, I was like, what the hell? And Bob Cottle's looking at him like, what are you doing, you idiot? I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Very enjoy. Good promo. And, I mean, you know, no spoiler, but Sullivan is going to, you know, turn it up a notch, too, with how crazy he is coming up soon. We'll leave it at that. Anything else, Doc, before we move on?
No, ma'am.
All right. Do we want to play the local promo with Dirty White Boy and Cornette? It's pretty good.
Yeah, the corny one popped me, so yeah, go ahead.
All right, here it is.
You're going to see Kevin Sullivan taking on primetime Brian Lee, and in a grudge match for the Smoky Mountain title, it's the Dirty White Boy against White Lightning Tim Horner.
White Lightning Tim Horner, you know, finally at last, the commissioner, Bob Armstrong, did something right. He got my belt back that White Lightning stole. But what's he turn right around and do? He gives White Lightning another title shot. William, that's fine and dandy. Go on, give Tim anything he wants. Because this time, Horner, I'm going to beat your stinking brains out, punk. You're throwing in my side. This means everything to me. And when I get you in the ring, my dear friend, I'm going to finish a job I started a long time ago, and that's taking you out. I'm going to do a job on you. Your old lady won't even recognize you. So you show up, punk, and see if you can get the job done.
It's Smoky Mountain Wrestling tonight in Barberville for the tag team titles. The Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies. If the Rock and Roll wins, they get 5 minutes alone with Jim Cornette.
You know, I realize you people would expect me to be upset about this, and yeah, I am upset about it. Bob Armstrong, the people at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, treating me like an idiot, throwing me in the ring if the Rock and Roll Express win, but that's a big if. Because you remember the last time there in Barberville in that six-man tag team match, I'm the one that beat Robert Gibson. I slapped him, I knocked him down, knocked him out, and I pinned him 1-2-3. Well, I got news for you people of Barberville. I know that usually what you have for dinner is whatever was too slow crossing the road yesterday. So I tell you what I'm going to do. The Rock and Roll Express, they ain't getting me. No, that ain't going to happen. But what they are going to get to beating, the Heavenly Bodies are going to get their tag team title back that they rightfully own, and then just as a little present, just as a little show of my affection for all you Eastern Kentucky welfare recipients, I'm going to have one of these nice, bright, new, shiny food stamps for everybody there in Barberville.
Last line.
The line that got me was whatever they had for dinner was too slow crossing the road.
Yeah.
He just said they eat roadkill.
Yeah, well,
by the look of the picture you got, well.
Oh, that was good. Hoffer, what'd you think?
Right. How many people you think shut up saying, where's my damn food stamp at?
All of them. you don't get called a mark without acting like one, shit.
Oh, boy.
He was on it, but I don't want to gloss over the fact that I really like something Dirty White Boy did. He ends by yelling, but right before he yelled, he got quieter. He said something that was a little bit quieter, and then he exploded. And I thought that was really, really awesome. Another solid promo from Dirty White Boy, and he got his belt back. So,
you know, the only thing I didn't like about this thing was the placement of it.
Yeah, it's a little.
Where was
yeah.
it?
Well, I don't want to spoil it. We're going to talk about it in like 2 minutes. But with the fact that they show, but that Dirty White Boy has the belt right here.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing I didn't like.
Thing.
But I do understand, you know, they cut that local promo. They generally have two local promos in every show. They put that one in here. I mean, I'm sure if you asked Cornette now, he'd have been like, yeah, it's one of those things, man. You know, we should have put that one at the end and maybe moved the, you know, we should have repositioned it a little. So that was the only thing. But, I mean, that's a small nitpick. This was really good. I enjoyed it. Very good local promo. I think I've got it on the YouTube channel. I can't remember. But if I don't, I'm going to go put it up there. But it's tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. Working on some new things for the channel. So go give it a subscribe and check it out there. Also, with the YouTube channel, very quick. The episodes go up there about a day and a half, sometimes 2 days early. It's just trying to drive traffic to the YouTube channel. So, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. You can get the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast full episodes up there a day or two early. So make sure you subscribe, and you can check it out there as well. All right, let's see. We Anything else, Doc? I'm sorry.
No.
All right. Harper, you good?
Nope. Yeah.
We go to the next match. It is Chris Comet versus Jeff Daniels. I got to be honest. The match kind of bored me. Comet wins. I don't have much else. Doc, do you have anything?
First of all, Cotto was putting Comet over big time at the beginning coming out.
Which was weird.
Chris Comet was known as Chris Michaels, where more people might know him. And he worked in ECW, WWF, and WCW. I don't know. I wasn't bored. My note here was Comet looks pretty good. If he can talk, can we cut Horner from the roster?
Every time a new baby face comes in, it's like, how do we cut Horner? How do we cut Horner? okay. Harper, what about you? Anything?
You seem to do more different stuff than you normally see.
Yeah, I wasn't bored by it.
Yeah.
I say bored because it was just like, I don't know.
What's he supposed
to
do? Carve him up with a spike? Somebody already has that covered.
Well, that's true. I guess I'm being mean.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Dick.
Sorry.
Ugh.
Yeah.
FML.
All right. Anything else from that match?
Nope.
All right. So here it is. Cornette has blown a gasket over this segment a few times in his on his podcast.
And I'm going to go ahead and give you my only note, and then we can react organically.
Okay.
My only note was written afterwards, but it will perfectly start this out. What a fucking clusterfuck.
Okay. Here it is. Bullet Bob and Bob Cottle, and then you'll hear the rest.
Right now here is, again, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner Armstrong.
Well, everybody's really excited about the TV title match here to be held next week.
Right.
We've got another problem, Bob, is that's our Smoky Mountain heavyweight title belt. Now, Tim Horner took that belt here 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've asked Tim where the belt is, and Tim said, I don't know where the belt is. I took him at his word, but I think Tim's man enough and upfront enough that he'll bring that belt back, because rules are rules.
Yeah.
He's got to bring the belt back, and it's got to be won according to our rules. If we don't have those to go by, then what have we got to go by?
Yeah, and Tim, I know, is the type of guy, he wants a belt, but he wants to win a belt. And have it this way. And here is Tim Horner, and I guess a friend of Tim's, and that's what you've been looking for, Commissioner. There's the bell. Tim?
You know something, Bob? Professional wrestling is a tough sport. An object of the game is to pin your opponent for a three count, and I know, Commissioner, you know that as well as anybody. And I think that's what I did a few weeks ago. Everybody's wanting to know where the belt's been. I didn't have it. This fellow right here had it. But I'll tell you something. I know you've got your job to do. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And I'm man enough to come out here. If it's right, it's right. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. And if we got to give this belt back, that's what we do. But I guarantee you the next time, Dirty White Boy, there won't be any discrepancies. I'll beat you for the three count, and this belt will be mine, and it'll be my buddy's here, JT.
Tim, I appreciate you coming out. Tim Horner's much of a man, and I appreciate if I had my way about it, that little gentleman could keep this belt forever. But I'm going to give Tim Horner another chance, and if he beats that white boy this time, no ifs, and buts, where, who, or whenever, he'll get this belt. I'll give it to him myself, and he can do with it what he pleases.
All right, fans, that's the story about the belt from Tim Horner and Commissioner Armstrong. We're going to be back. We'll have more right after this time.
I'm going to let Harper get his shit in first, man.
Does this seem like it? He's a heel. That's something a heel would do.
You talking about Bullet Bob?
No. Horner.
Horner?
Yeah, when he goes, oh, I never had the belt. He had it. Yeah, fuck you.
You won't get a disagreement from me on that. Yep.
He rolled over on the kid.
Yeah.
I didn't have it. He had it.
Yeah, right.
This terminally ill kid stole your belt, not me.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Whatever, bro.
Go ahead, Doc.
I can't even.
That's your only response?
It's just awful. I told you at the beginning, the whole thing is just summed up by being a complete and total clusterfuck.
Yeah, for real.
I knew this was coming before I saw
Cause,
it.
Because basically, yeah. when he basically came out and said, I was wrong. So here's the belt. But I'm not going to give it to you. Little buddy here is going to give it to you.
Yeah.
So he's it's like, you know what he is? You know how when you make your kid and some other kid get in a little scrap and you make them shake hands or say they're sorry and they do it, but they don't mean it? That's what this was. Sorry. Yeah, me too. Sorry.
I knew this was coming before I saw it, so I wasn't as shocked because I've just heard Jim Cornette blow a gasket on this a few times on his show. But I
can you imagine? I mean, if he's blowing a gasket recently about this, can you imagine his reaction when it happened?
That's what I'm saying.
This was his life, when this was he was working 7 days a week to make this thing go, and he saw that.
I can't remember if he said what Bullet Bob's response was, but I want to ask him that again because I can't remember what he did say, what Bullet Bob said or did after that segment. But
he said he was pissed off or something.
Okay, that makes sense. But
yeah,
I think Bullet Bob did a real good job of trying to save it at the end.
Yes,
because Bullet Bob's like, you know, I hate to take that from that poor kid, and maybe that young man will get another chance one day. But what's right is right. Like, I thought Bullet Bob really tried to save it. But in the end, I look at Horner right there, and I know Bobby Blaze is listening to this, and I get the feeling that there's some Smoky Mountain people who were involved in this promotion that listened to this show, just based on some discussions I've had. Tim Horner's a fucking idiot right here. There's no other way to say it. Like, yeah. Dude, seriously? You just came across as a heel. You threw a sick, terminally ill kid under the bus.
I didn't have it. He did. Fuck him.
the little dude right here did. Oh, gee, the kid who can't defend himself. That's real good. That's classy of you. Okay, can we move on from that?
Please.
Well, here's the thing. We go from that segment.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Once again, I don't want to, you know, shoot to the end of the episode. The Tim Horner wins the Tim Horner Award for being Tim Horner.
There you go, thin man within. Mark, there you go, man. Longtime listener and patron member, Mark. He is going to win the Tim Horner Award. Goes to Tim Horner again this week.
He's a chronic, and he's monopolizing this shit like Vern Gagne and Nick Bockwinkel did the AWA title for 20 straight years.
Well, let's go to something that is a lot more interesting. And that happens to be Mr. Ron Wright in Dutch Mantel. So let's go here. And it's a couple of segments. It's two actual parts. So I'm going to pause it in between, and then I'll fast forward into the part. Because in between, they have a highlight reel of Reno Riggins. So here it is. Here's Down and Dirty, the start of it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And as promised, my special guest on today's Down and Dirty with Dutch is the legendary Ron Wright. Let's give a big hand, everybody, for Ron Wright right now, a man who has beaten people up all the way from Charleston, West Virginia, to Atlanta, Georgia, to Memphis, and all over. And, Mr. Wright, I want you to know that it is a pleasure to have you on my segment.
I appreciate it, Mr. Mantel. It's a pleasure to be on your segment. You've got the top segment in the wrestling in the world today, and it is my honor to be here. You know, I'm so happy. I'm managing the Dirty White Boy. He's got a title over here. He's a champion. Let me tell you something. He's beating everybody in the country. This running through him like a dose of salts. We're going to have the TV title the time this thing's over here today. We're going to have all of these belts. But there's some other stuff I'd like to talk about. I've been watching this Reno Riggins, a new man that's come in here. This man's showing a lot of promise to me and a lot of stuff. I've got some video tapes that I'd like for him to run. Let everybody see this man and see just what I'm talking about.
All right, let's go right now. Let's see some videotape on Reno.
Beautiful dive. Wait a minute. Orndorff goes through. He gets a win.
Okay, everybody saw the video that you brought, Ron, on Reno Riggins, and Reno has joined us right here, and you have something to tell him?
Yeah, I've got something, and I want to talk to this man. You know, I brought some videos here and show to you. You've got some real, raw potential in this wrestling world. You know, if you had an old pro like the legendary Ron Wright to get you out there and give you a little pointers and a little coaching, let's hear it from you. You know, I could take a man like you that's got the real, raw, uncut diamond talent like you have and probably make a star out of you like I've done with this dirty white boy. Now, I've kind of been mulling this over in my mind, talked to the dirty white boy. You know, if you'd come in and sign a contract with me, we'd let you go around to all of the matches. You might have to polish a dirty white boy's belt, maybe polish my boots, carry his bags in, but you would be associated with the top wrestler in the world and the top manager in the world. Are you grasping what I'm telling you, son? But being in our presence, our talents and my mind and my ability, I'm going to implant it right up there in your brain and probably make you the second best wrestler in the world. Now, what would you say about putting your name on the dotted line in a contract for me, huh?
Well, Mr. Wright, it's true that you do manage the Dirty White Boy, and he is the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. So he's tops here in the Smoky Mountain area, and you're a legend in your own right, and that's an awful lot because nobody here in Smoky Mountain has really taken the opportunity to speak with me about anything like this. And I just... I tell you, Mr. Wright, since I came here to Smoky Mountain, I've always wanted to be a champion. I know being a champion takes a lot of hard work, and you're offering me this right now. If you wouldn't mind, I would kind of like to think on it a little bit if you'd give me a chance to do that.
Son, you mean you want to think on an offer that the legendary, world-known, renowned professional wrestler, brain of the wrestling empire that I am, you want to think on it? Well, let me tell you something, son. If you think, you better do your thinking short and fast, because a lifetime opportunity like this only comes once in a lifetime to a man that's needing a little more training like you are.
Okay, so Mr. Riggins, you're saying you want to think on it? All righty, you think on it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Down and Dirty tonight, Down and Dirty with Dutch. You heard the offer. Don't go away. We'll be right back. It's a good offer.
Oh, fucking brother Ron is upset. Son, you want to think on that? Harper, what'd you think?
I went for Dirty White Boy to just fucking jump him.
gotta think that's in the cards.
Yeah, fucking Reno Riggins. What a fucking idiot.
Doc, what do you think?
Well, I had to look up what a dose of salt was.
Yeah, that was a first for me.
And at first I thought he said a dose of sauce, but it's actually salt. It's an old-fashioned saying. Man, I was like, do it, Reno. Join him. Join him up. Join him up. Do it. But I do like this whole angle as a way to give somebody like Reno something to do. It's like we saw that with Barry Horowitz. You know, they were teasing that with something with Dutch. I like the fact that there's like – it's not just focused on the top two or three angles. Other guys have other things going on too.
Of course. I just – whenever Ron writes on, he can't do any wrong for me. He's just – he's mad, you know, son, what do you want to think about, you know? I mean, how can you insult me? I'm the greatest, you know, what did he say? I'm the greatest, I forgot. He said something about empire, but I can't remember how he phrased it. Anyway. Hey, Harper, you know, a few weeks back, you called Reno Riggins Little Tatanka.
That's what he looks like, an Indian.
He really does look like Little Tatanka.
See?
It's starting to, that's what it is. It is reminding me of that. I do have to admit to it. I do. So I had to point that out. Okay. Anything else before we go to the next promo, which is the Stud Stable?
Mm-mm.
No.
All right. We got the Stud Stable coming up. And let me refresh your memories. So the Stud Stable, Dutch somewhat joined the Stud Stable, I guess, as an ambassador of sorts. Not really their full-time manager, but, you know, he's behind them. And I guess you can say there, you know, he's the head of the Stud Stable. He wants to help them get a title shot and all that. So this is what that is in response to or what they're about to talk about. So here it is.
All right, fans, with us right now here is the Stud Stable, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. Jimmy?
Let me say something first here. I got a big question for Dutch. And, Dutch, I know that you've got a lot of good words and answers for us, that you got us a title match. When is it signed, sealed, and delivered?
Well, I don't have a title match yet, but I've been working on it. I went down to talk to Bob Armstrong. That don't look like that, Jimmy. I've been trying. I've been in the offices. And Rob, I know y'all want to know an answer here. I was in the offices of Bob Armstrong, and what did he do? He asked me to leave. He said, get up and leave. So I got up and left, and he would not even talk to me. He said I was talking out of school, and it wasn't any of my concern. He wanted to talk to you guys.
I don't want
to
hurt your feelings, man. I don't want to bring you down a notch or nothing, but I got to say this. Maybe you should take a lesson from Jim Cornette. Let's face it. Jim Cornette is a very, very good manager. That's one thing I want to say for him. And there's one thing he does. He takes this team, and let's face it, they're a mediocre team, calls them heavenly bodies. Right away, they get a big football-sized head. They start thinking they're Arnold Schwarzeneggers. That's a great idea, Doug, see? And what do? When you got a bulldog and you're putting him in a big fight, maybe on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all week long, you get him a ragtag, good-for-nothing terror that he can just whoop on. Cornette does that for the heavenly bodies. Let's face it, who's got the pretty right here in Smoky Mountain? You never seen nothing prettier than who, Dutch?
Than you guys.
The Stud Stable. That's exactly right. One thing for sure, Buster, whether it comes down to them standing in our way, whether it comes down to the rock and roll that's got the belts, I'm going to guarantee you this. The first time the Stud Stable steps in the ring with either one of them, we're going to find out who the greatest tag team who ever wrestled in Smoky Mountain Wrestling is.
Well put. Well put right there. Let me say something about them Rock and Roll Express, your so-called champions. There's you a couple of drugstore toy champions is what you ought to be calling them. We've beat them many times. We can beat them heavenly bodies. Let me tell you a little bit about our background. Let me start with Roy Welch, our grandfather, who invented professional wrestling, was one of the toughest wrestlers in the whole country. His dad right here, Buddy Fuller, was a great promoter, a great wrestler. My daddy, Billy Golden, was one of the best wrestling promoters in the world today. We're born champions, brother. We deserve a title match. We deserve to get it, Dutch, and we demand it. You
if
got that?
We get it, we are going to Bob Armstrong. I don't care who it takes. We deserve it.
There's been some interesting developments, there's no doubt about it, between these guys, between the rock and roll, and between the heavenly bodies. And speaking of those two, let's go back and see some of the action that took place between the heavenly bodies.
All right, Bob is about to lead us into the recap of Christmas Chaos. But I'll throw it to you, Doc. What did you think about the promo?
Well, you know how much I like Fuller. Mm-hmm. But damn it if Jimmy Golden didn't steal the scene there. He laid down some history, Jack. He was telling you that we're deep in this game. We've been doing this forever.
We're champion. Yeah. I mean, everything he said was true. It wasn't like he made it up. Yeah. I mean, there was no way of looking it up back then, but now we can look back and go, man, he's preaching. He's dropping some knowledge on us.
You're damn right.
Harper, your thoughts?
I love the backhanded compliments. How he puts Cornette over, but he buries the heavenly bodies.
Yes.
That's fucking great.
Yes. I thought that was good. And I think it's this episode coming up in a minute where I don't want to give it away. There's a promo with the heavenly bodies that I want to talk about related to almost the same thing, but thing, but I agree. He puts Cornette over, but it's backhanded. Mm-hmm. You know, we see them do this a lot, not them particularly, but we see this a lot on the Saturday night show, on the flagship show that we do as well. So I agree. I like this. Speaking of the flagship, I do want to point out, we haven't talked about Tracy Smothers in this episode, but you know, Tracy Smothers, depending on when this episode airs in a few weeks, I think that might be the week on the flagship show that Tracy Smothers is on. So Make sure you check out the Thursday show. If you subscribe to this show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, no matter where you get your show, do not miss out on the flagship show where the last few weeks we've had on ROH's Ian Riccaboni and Tracy Smothers. Both of them did two different parts with me. Tracy Smothers tells a lot of Smoky Mountain Wrestling stories, so make sure you check those out. Don't miss them. Again, I'm not sure when it's airing, but check the titles of the episodes, and if you see Tracy Smothers in it, that means he made an appearance on the Thursday show. So just putting that out there as we speak. But I agree, Hopper. It was a backhanded compliment, and it was done perfect, and I really liked it. And I like what Doc said about the history that Jimmy Golden dropped on this, because Fuller was kind of quiet for the most part, and Jimmy Golden was dropping true historical, you know, true history in professional wrestling, especially when it comes to that region and pretty much the country. Doc, anything else?
No, sir.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I really, really like that. That wasn't a big time rah-rah type promo, but it was good for what it was. Bob Cottle then leads us into a review of the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette at Christmas Chaos. With the lights turned as low as possible in the arena so that you can barely see even the center of the ring. Am I lying here, guys?
No.
Golden and Fuller basically helped the Rock and Roll retain the titles at Christmas Chaos. And instead of the Stud Stable taking on the winners at Christmas Chaos as they were promised, Fuller and Golden end up basically wrestling the Heavenly Bodies after they get done with the Rock and Roll, or after they get done, I guess, helping the Rock and Roll. The Rock and Roll Express actually then come out to help out the Stud Stable, who were getting the boots put to them by Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. And the Stud Stable then look to shake hands with the Rock and Roll, but the Stud Stable says, screw this, we're heels, and fuck you too. The remaining babyfaces hit the ring to help save the Rock and Roll in this melee. This was pretty wild. I mean, not wild as far as gimmicks and stuff go, but just the way it played out. It definitely left the Stud Stable as heels. There's no other way to say that, because I know they were teasing maybe a babyface turn. But I'll throw it at Hopper and ask him what his thoughts were of this review of Christmas Chaos. Now, keep in mind, they summarized probably 15 to 20 minutes of a match and aftermath of a match into a good, 2 minutes on this segment. So, Hopper, what'd you think?
I loved it because you basically saw, okay, the Stud Stables are going to turn faces now. Nope. Fuck that shit. They don't fucking play that game. And they beat the fuck out of everyone in the fucking ring. Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
That shit was fucking great. Because, I mean, you didn't see kind of, I guess at that time, that didn't happen too often. Because prior to that, there would have been the handshake, and they would have been good guys.
And let me say this. You hadn't watched ahead at all, like Doc and I.
No.
Doc's watched the whole thing. You, when you watched it, thought for sure a face turn was coming.
Uh-huh. Nope. Fuck that face shit.
That's because we've been conditioned to that over the years, and they didn't give it to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They teased it, and it was like, nah, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. So I like that. Yeah, I agree. Doc, what were your thoughts on it?
That's just it, is that it was, we're conditioned to expect the Studs to shake hands and that starts a face turn, and they didn't give it to you. So I love it. It was unexpected, and it was just a lot of twists and turns. Like you said, no gimmicks, but just ass beating and personal issues being continued.
Well, the beauty of it, too, is you still have this triangle of tag teams battling it out, where you're not stuck with just two teams going at it for the titles. You legit have still three teams involved in this.
Yep.
Three very good teams involved in this, and that's probably the best part about it.
There's Doc, no weak link.
Not at all. I mean, man, you can say what you want about Smoky Mountain if you're somebody who doesn't like it or whatnot, but, I mean, can you look at those three tag teams? You got the Rock and Roll Express. You got Stan Lane, who's one of the better tag teams in history of wrestling. You got freaking Dr. Tom, who's the master trainer in professional wrestling, who's trained some of the biggest stars and was a hell of a fucking wrestler in his own right. May not have had the name recognition, but was a hell of a wrestler. And then you got Fuller and Golden. I don't know. Along with Cornette managing one of them. And if you want to throw Dutch in there too as an ambassador, just doesn't get any better, man. You got eight guys if you include the managers and ambassadors right there. That's a hell of a freaking, you know, that's eight solid people in this industry. I'm good with it. So, all right, we go to then the promo. Now, the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette are now going to respond to, I guess, to what we just saw and what's been going on with the feud as well. So here it is.
All right, fans, and here with us right now, the Heavenly Bodies, Jim Cornette. We just saw some of the action there between your team and the Rock and Roll. We heard from the Stud Stable.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, there's a lot going on between your team and those other two teams right now.
You know, I guess these people out here being from Tennessee, they think the Stud Stable is something. Well, I'll tell you something. I don't think the Stud Stable is nothing. I think they're sticking their nose in our business, and that's not where it belongs. Now you hear the Fullers and the Golas talking about their great family legacy, their great history all these years. Let me tell you something. Robert Fuller, the only work that your father ever did was supervised by a man holding a shotgun. And
damn,
as far as the rest of the stinking family goes, I hear they're going to have a big family reunion. They're going to schedule it just as soon as the parole board meets. But Stud Stable, you better stick your nose in somebody else's business besides the Heavenly Bodies, because we want the Rock and Roll Express, and we ain't in the mood for nobody to get in our way of getting them. We want our belts back.
You know, we have nothing against Sandlot football teams. We have nothing against semi-pro baseball players, and we have nothing against minor league hockey players, and we have nothing against Fuller and Golden. As far as small-time regional champions, yeah, they're some of the best. But they should stick to the little armories and the moose lodges and the high schools and leave the international stars, the cable TV, the guys that travel around the entire world. They should leave the big jobs to us. And I'm talking about the Rock and Roll Express. Fuller and Golden, stand aside and let the big boys eat.
You may have beaten people around here, and they might consider you a great team around this area. But the fact of the matter is, since the very inception, since the very first time here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette have dominated the tag team scene. So Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, while they may call you the Stud Stable, and while all these local yokels may know who you are, we want you to know that we are known nationwide. And before it's all done, you'll realize that, and you will know who the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette really are.
Yeah,
I want to say one more thing. Tell your broadcast partner to stick to talking instead of trying to manage or be associated with the Stud Stable. I'd hate to see anything happen to our friendship.
That's right. I'm sure, fans, we haven't heard the last of this.
Doc, you first.
Well, this is certainly messy.
Just a little bit. Just
man,
a bit.
So I like Corny because they've been playing friends, and then something bad happens, and then he's immediately going to DEFCON a million and just scorching the earth. I appreciate that kind of response. So him coming out with this thing about the Welch family being, you know, prisoners.
Basically, the only work your daddy did was when somebody was holding a shotgun.
Stan was great. I love the term moose lodges. I think that's funny because I think he means Elk's Lodge, but whatever. And then I thought Dr. Tom was pretty spot on too. And then at the end, Corny starts threatening Dutch. I was like, damn, man, they came out and just dropped the hammer on these things.
Torch the earth, dude.
And it's messy because he's like, it's the hidden line in there. Don't get in our way. We want rock and roll. So it really is a messy triangle situation here.
Yeah. Harper, what do you think?
Well, I counted how many times Pritchard played with his hair.
How many?
It was seven.
So that's, if you took a drink,
yeah,
that would have been a pretty stiff promo to cut. If you played the drinking game,
yeah,
you'd be pretty damn drunk if you took seven shots of Hennessy.
God damn.
Who wants to do
or
that?
Anything?
Right. Why is it always Hennessy with you?
Because he's black.
That's true.
Okay, whatever. Can we get back to it now?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Well, here's my thoughts. Cornette basically called Fuller's dad an inmate, and I love Stan here because I don't know if y'all kind of caught this, but well, you did catch it, but I'm wondering if you assessed it this way. Stan is yapping about the stud stable sticking to the armories and high school gyms and moose lodges, and then Stan says, "Leave the cable TV and world scene to us." Well, shit, Stan, you're in a high school gym right now in the same place, which is
yeah,
why
I was thinking the same thing.
Which is why this was fantastic.
I thought that too.
Yeah. I agree. I thought it was great. Anything else before we move on from this great promo by Cornette and Heavenly Bodies?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a local promo in between the next match. So I'm going to roll through it. I'm not going to mention a local promo till the end of the show. That we go into the next match is Paul Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy versus Tim Horner and Ron Garvin. Now, it's been a while, but Garvin has butchered that damn robe up. You know, now it has no sleeves. It has no length to it. It's just a piece of crap. He's butchered it up. My notes for the match were pretty simple. I hope Tim Horner bought Dirty White Boy lunch and dinner on the road all the time because Dirty White Boy can make Tim Horner look great continuously with the way he bumps, and the Dirty White Boy has carried this angle the entire time, even though it's a tag match. Garvin takes the heat for much of the match once we settle into things. Finally, we have a double collision with Dirty White Boy and Garvin. After Orndorff misses two elbow drops, Garvin makes the hot tag to Horner. Horner comes in, cleans house. Meanwhile, Garvin goes after poor old Mr. Ron right on the outside, and with the referee distracted, Paul Orndorff gets a hold of a gimmick and hits Horner with it. Orndorff covers Horner and gets the win. Thank God Tim Horner got pinned. Doc, I'll throw it to you first. What were your thoughts?
Did you hear Dutch at the beginning say he was a Christian man?
Of course.
My note here is this is Horner's hometown. So I can't imagine what he was doing backstage. Like, this is my hometown. You got to keep me strong. If they jump on and they get tired, I'll take over. You know, how much politicking and bullshit he was going through to try to make sure he looked good out there. So as a result of all that nonsense, and you said Garvin took the heat. Well, have we ever seen Garvin sell that much?
No, but also at the same time, don't you think for a second that Ronnie Garvin wasn't laying in some chops too?
Well, of course he is. I mean, that's like, he is who he is, but he sold like a son of a bitch.
Well, he's in there with Paul Orndorff. He's in there with a world renowned wrestler in Paul Orndorff and somebody who may not be so well known, but a great wrestler in Dirty White Boy.
I don't disagree with anything that you just said. We've just seen him not sell that much for the world champ in 1986. So
that's true too.
I mean, it was something I hadn't seen, is to see him sell that much. So that was an interesting part of the match for me. I'm looking for anything because it's a fucking Horner match. All right.
Good part is Horner took the pin, in my opinion. I can only imagine. Well, in the back, can you imagine? Go ahead.
Well, at the end, I said this was a good match, and it was great because the air went out of that gym when they lost.
Yeah, the crowd was hot,
and it killed them. And you know what? I realized that booking 101 may not want to do that, but having to watch Horner week in and week out, I loved it.
Yeah, Harper, what about you?
And I was thinking, fucking watching them. They're both thieves. He stole the belt. And there's Garvin wearing still wearing his robe.
Bunch of criminals.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, they cut a promo about that a couple weeks back, about stealing stuff from people.
Right.
Goddamn criminals.
And I said, so I guess that feud's over with?
Let's just see how it plays out.
All right.
Let's see how it plays out. But Horner got his shoulders pinned. Let's just say that. Now, here's the thing that people don't know about Christmas Chaos, because I don't know if they show it at all. I can't remember. But Horner, Dirty White Boy eats a couple of pins during Christmas Chaos. But it's after the 30 minutes that the belt was on the line in the tag matches. So it kind of made Horner look strong in that respect, but he doesn't win the belt, obviously. I don't know. They don't really you know, talk about that much, but it's in the results. If you look at the history of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Horner pins him in tag matches, but it's after that 30 minute stipulation that Bullet Bob Armstrong put up, where if within the first 30 minutes, Dirty White Boy is pinned, either Horner or Garvin would have gotten the belt. Well, it happened after the 30-minute mark. So I guess that was like, you know, Cornette's way of making Tim feel good. But I don't think any of those matches ever make TV, so what the hell ever. No one saw them. Only people saw them were in the building, and that was that. I don't know. Anything else from this one?
Nah.
Yeah, me either. It's just a... God bless fucking Tim Horner. Tim Horner eats a pin, and we'll give him another Tim Horner award. How does that sound?
Okay. I like his sweater for that promo.
Oh, we're going to get to that in 1 second. I just want to remind everyone to, if you're using Amazon, please, if you love this show, love what we do, love all the work we put into it, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Purchase Bobby Blaze's book, Pin Me, Pay Me. Bobby talked about it when we had Tracy Smothers on. If you're listening to this and haven't listened to it yet, remember, listen to that episode with Tracy on the flagship show. But again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. If you're one who loves Memphis wrestling, there is Memphis wrestling on Amazon Prime now. You can watch all the Memphis wrestling you can get your hands on. Just by becoming a Prime member. So if you become a Prime member, use that link as well. That we get a little bit of kickback in return. So please help us out. Support the show. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Amazon sells anything and everything. So go there and help support the show. We'd appreciate it. Check the show notes if you missed the link. Okay, we go to from after Paul Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy defeat Tim Horner and Ron Garvin, we go to a local promo, and here it is. This local promo is I won't say it. You'll hear it. Here it is.
Title in a grudge match, the Dirty White Boy defending against White Lightning and Tim Horner tonight in Barberville.
You know, last time right there in Barberville, I was in a six-man with my friends, my buddies, the Rock and Roll Express. Then White Boy, you saw fit to run out and want to slam my head in the concrete, and I ain't forgot it one bit because the knot's still there. Well, this time it is a grudge match, but it is for the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight title. Beating you ain't no problem because I proved I can do that. And in Barberville, I'm going to prove it again, White Boy.
It's Smoky Mountain Wrestling tonight in Barberville for the tag team titles, the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies. If the Rock and Roll Express wins, they get 5 minutes alone with Jim Cornette.
You know, brother, now we can't wait because Jimmy Cornette, you've been a thorn outside for a long, long time. We get through the Heavenly Bodies, boy, you better watch out. We got 5 minutes with you.
That's right, Robert. It's getting to the time like it used to be when the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express, and you always had that feeling that somebody was watching you. You always had to keep looking over your shoulder because you didn't know what Jimmy Cornette was up to. One thing about this match here, Jimmy Cornette, the last time that we were in Barberville, you might have slicked us once. Shame on you, baby. Slick us twice, shame on us. Because right here in Barberville, we got one thing on our mind, and it's to beat your Heavenly Bodies and get our hands on you, Jimmy Cornette. You see, throughout all the time we have met Jimmy Cornette, he's been so obsessed over us over these belts right here. He wanted them so bad that he'd go to any extreme to get them. Remember one thing, Jimmy Cornette, right here in Barberville tonight, if we beat your Heavenly Bodies, that means we get 5 minutes along with you in the ring. And you see, he's always been known to bring that tennis racket down there in case his teams get in trouble. But we got a surprise for you, Jimmy Cornette. We always have an ace in the hole. And our ace in the hole is, baby, bring your tennis racket on down there because we got one for you. And we're going to see if it might fit. We see you right here in Barberville tonight. Bring it on down, baby. Take your best shot, but don't blow it.
Man, if he shoves that big-ass tennis racket up Cornette's ass, that ain't going to feel good. Damn, that racket was, like, oversized. Harper, go ahead.
Yeah, that fucking tennis racket looked fucking huge.
It was.
And
he brought that thing up. I popped like a son of a bitch. It's hilarious.
And fucking Horner looked like he was going to go fucking rape some bitches with that fucking Bill Cosby sweater on.
It's funny you said that because the immediate thing I thought when I first saw that was, oh, look, he's got a Dr. Huxtable sweater on.
Yeah. Fucking put it in pop ass.
I don't know if people remember what you're talking about when Cosby was doing the Jell-O pudding pop commercials.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Those things tasted like ass, probably because they had ass on them.
Probably so. Drugging a bunch of white bitches.
Oh, come on, man.
He did.
What? He did.
Well, it's allegedly because he just got off.
Yeah. Right. Come on now. Let's allegedly. Come on now. All right. Oh, boy. So, I don't know, man. That was good. I need to put that one on the YouTube channel. Dr. Huxtable sweater. So, all right. Where are we at? Disability check time. Doc, you go first.
Pretty good episode all the way through. Always like going back and catching shit from the big shows. Too much Horner really, really does drag this thing down, though. 7.3.
I'm at a 7.5, so I can I can agree.
That's what I'm going to say.
7.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good episode. It's just I don't know. The Cornette and Heavenly Bodies promo was good. I mean, well, I'll talk about that in a second too. But so all right, I got 7.5. Doc's got 7.3. Harper's got 7.5. So we're all pretty much in the same ballpark there. All right, what about your government cheese? I tell you what, I'll go first. I'm going to give it to Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies with their promo because I really liked how they responded. To me, it was the perfect heel promo. They're talking about how, you know, Fuller and Golden need to just spend their time in the armories and what they say, Doc, moose lodges?
Mm-hmm. Moose knuckles.
In high school gyms and leave the cable TV and the world scene to them. Well, I'm sorry, Stan, but you're in the high school gyms with them at this point. You're not on TBS anymore. But that's great. That's what made it a great heel promo. So that's why I went with that one for my government cheese. I really thought that was a good one. Shout out to Shar Johnson, longtime listener who named that segment for the show. That's become a part of the show now for almost since I think episode 20 maybe. So, yeah. Doc, who are you giving your government cheese to?
I'm going to go, and I almost gave it to Jimmy Golden for just busting out there. But I'm going to give mine to Ron Garvin for all that selling and carrying the Horner match.
Okay. Harper, what about you?
I want to give mine to the Stud Stable for that fucking awesome promo they fucking shot.
It's probably, I think now this is the third or fourth time we've gone with a different person. Or a different segment.
You say that every time.
It's starting to add up. No, there was a while back. It hadn't happened for a long time. Here's what I'm shocked about. What about Ron Wright? None of it. Did y'all consider him?
Mm-mm. No.
No?
No.
Has he raised the bar that much?
Maybe. They
Christmas chaos, my foot.
Well, there's that. They hung somebody. They hung somebody not too long ago. Come on.
We got to do commentary voice. So we got to do like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Was it 2000 or 3000, Doc?
3000.
We got to do commentary on that segment. Just like the three of us and put that shit on YouTube. And get our reactions while we're doing it. Because I like your line, Doc, where you go... Or you go, there's somebody in that audience going, man, that's not how you put up a damn rope and hang a boy. My grandpappy showed me back in the day what you're supposed to do to hang a sumbitch. You got to get that noose around him real tight. Shit.
It's not hang a son of a bitch. You know that.
Is it? Well, I'm not going to say. Stop. I mean, Jesus, come on, dude. Can we have a little class to the show? We do have some standards.
Stop looking at white women.
What?
Nothing.
Okay, I'd missed that. Yeah. Okay. Good episode, though. I really enjoyed it. Before we get out of here, I do need to say thanks to Joe Stassi and Old School Pro Wrestling Lives. Plug our Pro Wrestling Tee store. All the links I'm about to mention are in the show notes, but go to tinyurl.com/BTTProWrestlingTees. Another way to get there is our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the shop now button. It will bring you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. And while you're on our Facebook page, like the page, show your support of the show by commenting on the episodes. We're also on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper and his buddy Mullet of Morton. They're at CJH Hudat and at Mullet of Morton, where they post their bitches all day long that you can look at. I know Harper loves his. Didn't you say you love your rat of the day?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Bro, did you? I meant to say this. I know I'm doing these plugs, but did you see? Did you see what he posted? I'm trying to pull it up. The other day, Mullet of Morton, about, hold on, let me get to it. This was the raunchiest thing I've ever read. It said, my brother, at Mullet of Morton, he posted this on like July 13, 2017, I think it was. My brother just asked me, if you put anal beads in your girl and go to pull them out, do you pull slow or real quick, like when you're starting a lawnmower?
Okay, hold on. He's stealing that from somewhere else, because I saw that on a certain site that you and I like to go to too. So let's don't make
oh, it Tasteless Gentleman, it's on there.
Yeah, so let's not make it seem like he's at home creating these memes by himself. He's just copying and pasting now.
Okay, well, he followed up that when he said he answered his brother saying, hell, I don't know. This isn't bingo. Just pull the some bitches out so you can get down to business, I guess. Okay, and then he had another one. I've been with my share of rats, and the only difference between a terrorist and our broad is that you can negotiate with a terrorist.
That's nice.
That's classy of him. Okay, yeah, I had to mention that. Some good stuff on Twitter. Shout out to @FakeStanLane and @TheEyeOfGibson and @DenimFritz605. They all support the show, always retweet it, all that good shit. I also want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons @SVPageum, @MartinHowell71, @TimMorecci, @Codeman822, @UnconvincedRay, @GodboldUnreal as well, @THog94. I'm sorry if I missed someone. I have it in my notes, but I don't have them all in my notes, so I'm drawing a blank. I'm doing it off the top of my head. And then check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. And lastly, check out the 605 Super Podcast each and every week. And that's all I got. Doc, anything else?
Nope.
Harper, anything else?
No.
Hit the tagline and get us out of here for this week.
Fucking bitch.